podcast continues with Kanye West, the mogul with many faces. Kanye has many faces to his hip-hop mogul empire. He's a world-renowned producer, rapper, songwriter, and record executive. He's also a fashion designer, having created collaborations with major brands such as Adidas and Louis Vuitton, and his flagship brand, Yeezy. Forbes estimates that Yeezy alone adds $1.26 billion to the rapper's personal net worth. In April 2020, Kanye was formally announced as a billionaire, despite claiming he was already in the 3-comma club for many years prior to this. My guest today is Faye OJ, a digital creator and podcast host who has an encyclopedic knowledge of pop culture and Kanye West. I wanted to speak to Faye because she hosts her own podcast, Emotion, and is the perfect person to talk about the best and most challenging element of Kanye's journey to hip-hop mogul status. Find Faye and her podcast on Instagram as @faye.oj and @themotion_. In this episode, we'll be talking about Kanye's career and how he refused the pickle juice because he knew how to leverage his value even when he was the only person who saw and believed in his vision. So the thing that really got me about Kanye is the fact that he's already reached billionaire status. I wasn't surprised. Like, obviously, like, he's been doing billionaire moves, but it was just crazy to me. We got another hip-hop billionaire.
Yeah, no. For sure. I think he would have hit it a lot earlier than he did. But I just think, I mean, you can't really argue with $1 billion, can you?
You can't argue with $1 billion.
Like, you just can't. I have such an interesting relationship with Kanye. And I think I tweeted, like, I need to go to a therapist to stop feeling everything that happens to him like it's happening to me. Like, I just don't get it, because I disagree with so much of what he does and says, but there is just this bit of me that is always rooting for him. And I don't know where it stems from. Like, I think that there was probably a time I probably did see him in myself, or myself in him, whichever way you want to look at it. But no, it's not healthy. But man, I love the guy. I can't lie. I really do.
That's a beautiful thing that you said, though, about seeing yourself in him. And you were saying, you know, I don't know why. I mean, if anyone has consumed any of your content, they know that you are culturally aware, you're on the ball, you're on the money, you are our pop culture queen. So perhaps what it is that you see in Kanye is that, you know, the fact that that is what Kanye is to us. There's influences, and then there's like Kanye. Like, Kanye's up there with people, you know what I mean? So maybe that's what
absolutely.
You're feeling.
I think it's just like the refusal to adapt, or the like refusal to fit in. I think that's like sort of like what it is, and I think that is not always a good thing. Like, I can't have this conversation without acknowledging the bad, not just for fear of cancellation, just because I think it is important to like give the whole picture. But I don't know, it is something that I've always found as like admiring his self-love, and it does hinge on narcissism, and that's what I mean when I say, you know, you've got to acknowledge the bad. But I think that he does believe in himself, and he knows what he's worth. And some may say that, you know, he's overvalued it, but that's what I mean when I think he would have got to a billion way before he did in his head. But, you know, he's there now, and he's always seen this, I think, so...
That's the don't drink the pickle juice, you know, mantra. Know what you're worth. And so I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, we just talked in the last episode about Jay-Z, and I talked about that with Deliso and Goma. And now we're talking about Kanye. Similar things with Nipsey. They decided what their worth was and then told the world. It wasn't the other way around. And
yeah,
you think that's what I feel personally, that's what distinguishes a hip hop mogul from a mogul in any other area, because hip hop moguls, by virtue of most likely being black, have to come into it already valuing the product, because it will be devalued because society doesn't
necessarily recognize Black art as valuable. So what you just said about Kanye, perhaps that is what, you know, seals him as a hip hop mogul, because he knew the value of the thing before he got there, even long before anyone had the tools to recognize how worthwhile it was.
Yeah, no, that is really true. And I think, like, I know his Sway interview off by heart. I know, like, you know, we laugh and we're like, we laugh at the whole, you ain't got the answers. But there's something that he says in the, it's like when Sway is like, you know, he's put his own money to, on a lower scale. Basically, he said he's put his own money on a lower scale and, like, had things not worked out, like different clothing lines. And then Kanye says, but it ain't no Ralph, though. It ain't no, what's it called? Because he wasn't trying to just do it in a way that it's like a community thing. He wanted to do it on a global scale. And I think the way our world is set up, unfortunately, you sometimes do have to, like, go out to blow, or to, because that's where the money is. Whether that's, like, a good thing or not, I think is, like, another conversation in itself. And I had a conversation on my podcast about Black capitalism and, you know, the whole getting rich to bring the community up. And, like, I don't really find that that happens. But as I said, that's another conversation.
That's exactly it. Kanye's ability to equate what he was doing and say, is it Burberry? Is it such and such? What he's saying isn't, oh, you know, because I think sometimes people might misunderstand that as him sort of just, like, you know, licking ass. But it's not him just being blindly obsessed with luxury. It's him saying these brands or these houses, these, you know, entities have infiltrated so much that it's household. It's not just good amongst a group of people. It's a fact. And so he wanted to develop that level of, it's kind of like with Jay-Z, he was seeing it like, he was like, for me, it's like this. If them seeing us like something, I'm going to see you as something. You get something, I get something. And because it's Black, I'm going to require a little bit of, you know, reparation tax. And I'll always ask for too much. Like Jay-Z said, he always asks for too much. And he does it on purpose.
How do you feel about that?
It kind of goes back to what you said earlier about Black capitalism. If it's all exploitation at the end of the day, does it matter? Question mark.
Yeah, big question mark. Big question mark. Because I'm always in two minds about this. I think that some people, what you said about, you know, it being devalued, some people will happily, like, splash on the Louis or on the, like, Gucci's or whatever, happily. But you sort of expect it to be cheaper if it's a celebrity. But, like, even if we go to Rihanna, for example, and her Fenty brand with LVMH, correct me if I'm wrong. Former, because it's, you're not, as a fan, right, you want to buy Rihanna stuff. Like, let's call it merch, even though that's, like, overly cheapening it. But at the end of the day, a lot of artists have merch. So, at the end of the day, Fenty is a form of Rihanna merch. And it's, like, if you look at it as Rihanna merch, it is overvalued. Savage works because you can afford it as well. You can afford it. And it's, and the same with Fenty Beauty. Like, that dress, every time I checked on it, like, weekly to see if it would go down, like, it went down for Black Friday, 50% off, I still couldn't afford it. And so I think that, yeah, as an artist, to really be a mogul, you sort of have to go bigger than the fans. You can't really rely on the fans. And that might mean you looking crazy, like Kanye has done for the whole of his career. But as in, I think when you're a visionary, it can go right and it can go left. Or it could go left, sorry.
I don't think visionaries necessarily need to lead us anywhere. Like, they're just visionaries. They just had a vision. It's like Raven Baxter. Like, she's going to have a vision, but the future can still change. Like, yeah, I think sometimes people think visionaries are supposed to be, like, you know, deities. He's not a deity. He's a visionary. The same way industries always have entrepreneurs in that industry. Not because everything they do succeeds, but because they take the risks where other people don't. That's what makes what they do achieve and, you know, implement so valued. That's why they can afford to charge that extra tax, because you're getting something that you wouldn't have gotten if that person hadn't been out there doing the thing. You know, a lot of the innovations we've had as society and, you know, as cultures, individual cultures, have come from people within those societies or within those cultural or defying those cultural norms. It comes from people sort of going against the grain, like you said. And that is such a valuable thing that I don't think that it means anything, you know, anything necessarily bad if when an innovator, you know, does something innovative, it costs. Like, you know, it probably costs them a lot in friendship, in life and social skills to be that obsessed and anal to create something that big, but it paid off. And so yeah, they should. Yeah,
I mean, he talks about it in his stories, doesn't he? Like my wife said, what do you say? My wife said, he can't say no to no one, and if he doesn't, then they're gonna go broke. So like, and then even like real friends, how many of us, real friends, trust issues. I'm just trying to think, like, where did Yeezy go right that maybe like Fenty didn't? Like, I'm trying to think because.
I mean, that's the question. I think that is a really interesting take to get into, because they more or less did the same thing. And everyone, I think the difference is, and this is something I wanted to talk about. Rihanna, I don't know. I cannot fail to put in the patriarchal context of society. Like, I cannot. Ooh, of course. I have to put that in.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Between the two of them, superstars or not, like Rihanna has the things she's had to deal with and then the brave face she's had to make versus the things Kanye's been able to do and say, even in music, whatever, by being a man, are just so worlds apart. But that's the first point. But getting into the idea of, all right, this is just the fashion game, you know, men and women succeed. So if this is the fashion game, they were both selling product. I think perhaps what ended up being different is that it's not just price point. I think it's also universal appeal. And I think what Kanye did, like, hacking into that streetwear culture, is that it's that kind of sleight of hand that Black culture does sometimes, where it's mainstream culture, but it's Black culture. They're just letting you have some. So, like, sneaker culture never was accessible for people in the same way. Like, so if you think about Jordans and stuff like that, that is Black culture. That's Black, blackity, Black culture, Black history, Black everything. Whereas with Yeezy, yes, like, the tying to Adidas, the sort of, like, yes, it's Kanye West that owns it, but even the way it's branded, it's designed to be a welcoming, you know, like, brand to say, like, look, as long as you can afford these, wear them. You know, that's why, like, having politicians and, like, people like that in Yeezys is so, like, wild, because it's like, or, like, when you see, like, a cool mom with, like, Yeezys on, because they're able to access a piece of a culture in a real legitimate way that's not, like, cringe. And I think that ownership of it is probably what fueled Yeezy in that way. Whereas with Fenty, Fenty's coming from a place of, like, this is House of Fenty. Like, you got to be Fenty to get in.
Mm.
And a lot of people aren't, like, Rihanna's a baddie, but we're not everyone is able to immediately see themselves in Fenty. I think perhaps that's what happened. It's not just they couldn't see it, but their wallet couldn't see it either.
No, I think it's true. I mean, I think that, yes, there's, like, the sneak. I mean, Yeezys aren't exactly cheap, but I think what you said about they're accessible, it's something that you might see yourself, you know, you can save up towards them. And even like Adidas, like big player in the game as well. So I think that definitely is a factor, like partnership with something like, even though Rihanna did partner with LVMH, it's like, it's not an everyday brand. They're not in JD. Like, they're not in JD Sports, you know what I mean? So
I also agree with Rihanna's point of view that we should have a black luxury house.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, I wonder sometimes, and I guess this is why I wanted to discuss and dissect the whole concept of a hip-hop mogul, because we are bringing something we knew had no value, we set the value to it. So like, for example, Rihanna knew the lingerie industry didn't give a fuck about inclusive sizing. She just knew that. Like, she knew that. And so creating a brand that was like, we know that, and this is what we provide. That's what makes Savage amazing. And then Fenty, of course, that iconic launch, you know, of, we know you don't care about dark skin tones, so here we go. We're going to give you every shade, right? With fashion, and perhaps this is where maybe hip hop struggles to move beyond, you know, collaborations. I want to shout out, by the way, Nicki Minaj has a Fendi collaboration that was iconic. You know, that was a luxury brand collaborating with a black hip hop artist to create a capsule collection entirely in their name with their face on the front of it. Like, that was huge. So we are able to do it, but do we move beyond, like, how are we supposed to move beyond, you know, they'll give us some canvas to put our designs on, to this is our original thread garment. You know, Kanye did that.
Well, yes, he did do that. But as mentioned, he had to go out. And I think something I would like to, you know, bring into this conversation is the power of Black Coin. Like, you've seen what happens when Migos mention a brand or any rapper mentions a brand. Like, it goes up. It becomes accessible because a world and a wealth of people listen to hip hop. And so I do think that, you know, it's just a battle that I always go through in my head. Like, can we keep it in, you know, our community without going out and raise the capital? For example, like, why, like, Kanye, Jay-Z, like, they stop going to the hip hop. They stop going to the BET Awards. Do you know what I mean? Like, it gets to a level where they stop and, like, they become like the, you know, the top or the creme de la creme. It's like, it's like they're not, it's, I mean, people grow, but it's like they're sort of not the same. And so I think that, yeah, I think this mogul conversation is really, really difficult. And you mentioned Nipsey before, and I think that he was someone that did manage to kind of, like, you know, keep a leg in, one out, but he didn't have a billion. So it is the trade-off, isn't it? Rest in peace, by the way. Always got to give respect.
But, and that is what Jay-Z's, discusses, that there is a trade-off. If you want to get onto that big conglomerate level, you need to make sure that you're bringing something that the integrity of it stays. Because I think people's opinion on Jay-Z may fluctuate, but people's opinion on, like, Reasonable Doubt isn't going to change. Do you know what I mean? The work he brought with him, like, the bargaining chip he brought to get that conglomerate money was definitive. And currently, and I'm so sorry to derail your point, I just wanted to say, currently, people are bringing hip hop to the negotiating table, but the quality of the hip hop is ass. So cool, you're cutting checks with big companies, but you're selling shoddy product. I'm not impressed. It's not just about, okay, let's go get this big corporate money because we can. It was never about that. In my view, it was about the fact that the people who birthed the culture deserved to see it appreciated on that level. It was like a community buy-in. So that's, you know, I mean, that's what I think was successful about Nipsey. But like you say, there is that limiting factor. But I think if the community gets behind it going big, it goes big. The Black Pound, the Black Dollar, it can do that. It can do that. but it has to require collective agreement. And I just don't think, I don't know, I just don't think there's enough hip hop infrastructure for us to have reasonable doubts that go big like that, and then we sort of all just get behind it, and we all get behind that person and make another billionaire. Do you know what I mean? Do we have that much in common anymore? And has the integrity of hip hop remained to the extent that we can have that
hip-hop
mogul?
I mean, obviously, as things grow, like, it becomes less of a community, which I don't really think is a bad thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think rap, as you've said, it's on the same on that community level anymore. I don't know who will be the next hip hop mogul. I think that's an interesting conversation. I think my appreciation of say that again.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I was just agreeing.
I think, sorry, there's a lag, and so it makes the conversation a bit huh? But no, I think my appreciation of Kanye is sort of away from the money, because especially with artists, I'm not that concerned with their money. I'm more concerned with their mogul moves than their money moves, if that makes sense. So I think that's why I can see someone like Rihanna and appreciate them as much as Kanye, because I'm all for people exploring different versions of themselves. And so if I go back to the point of self-belief that I was saying, Kanye knew he was more than a rapper. Do you get what I mean? He knew that he was more than a rapper. In his head and by his words, he's a god, which I would not say. I believe in one god, and he's not Kanye West. But
amen.
He knew that he was more than a rapper. And so I am all for artists that, basically just go beyond, themselves. And I think even someone on a different level, Joey Badass, who I'm always really annoyed that he's not making music, but he's acting. He'd had a point where he was doing a whole scholarly thing. And I just think that if you really want to be somebody in hip hop, and you're going to have the Drake conversation, you're so right. You need to know your worth when you're walking in. And I think that worth goes beyond monetary worth. I don't really see the world to see the world like that. But you will find that when you do know your worth beyond monetary worth, the money will follow. The money will follow. There are so many people that I really like. YG is one of my favorite rappers. And he has his 400 line, he has a weed factory, and I just think that nothing wrong with coming in and wanting to do the music and that's it. But I think that where I see a difference is when people know their worth, and I think in all forms, and not accepting the first offer. And you're so right that there's a patriarchal thing. Because when I said not accepting the first offer, I was thinking of Monique. I don't know if you... Monice? Oh, no.
Yeah, please,
bless it. Edit this out until I actually find her name. Monique. What is wrong with me? Why don't I... It's Monique, right? The actress. The comedian.
Yeah,
I don't know what's wrong with me. I was thinking Monique Slaughter from Love & Hip Hop. Yeah, Monique. Monique, the video where she's she's calling Charlemagne the God Lenard, and we all clown it and stuff like that. But she knew her worth, and so
don't drink the pickle juice.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
Don't drink it. Don't drink it.
And if you don't drink the pickle juice, you can end up being you know, I sound like if you just pull up by your bootstraps and work hard. But what I mean is, if you want to be a hip hop mogul, first believe in the value and the integrity of hip hop. Because there is one thing all of these people that we've talked about on this podcast have in common, and they respect and revere hip hop because they know what they can do with it. And that's the difference. You know, Nicki's got this bar where she says, I'm talking about my brand and you're talking about your brands. The difference is a lot of M's to your couple hundred grand. That's like how hip hop moguls think. They're like, no, it's about the value of me and this skill that I have and this culture that I'm a part of. It's not about any of the other elements of it. And because they're so focused on that, it opens up the sky, in my view.
I think another point, like, if we're talking specifically to Kanye West as well, is this guy is what, like 40-something?
40.
And I think there are so many, like, yeah, like, so that's pretty youngish in terms of hip-hop age. And if you look at the different phases of his career as well, like, it's all governed by something that's a bit like statement. Like, if we go to the, like, oh my goodness, like, if we go to the shades with the lions in them, right? That's around, you know what I'm talking about, right?
The shades?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, his the shades, the shutter shades. Shutter shades.
Yeah, the light one
that we all would like get from
Primark. I have a T-shirt. Yeah. I had a big
literally,
oversized
that we all literally would go to Primark and get them and like wear them for me to the like year six disco, like things like that. That is culture. That's culture capital. And I just think like if you look at the imagine if Kanye came up with a line then like shades.
Well, it's like Nicki with a pink wig.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I just think that, yeah, throughout his career, it's like he's has different phases. He has different interests. And each of them, like, are movements. They're, like, periods in time. And, like, even the influence he was making before he was even, like, in front or, like, as the artist, like, literally just being, like, the producer Kanye. Mm. I just think that, yeah, an over-awareness of yourself will, like, and, like, following that will lead to longevity.
That is the message. Just be aware of yourself, you guys. Yeah. Don't drink the pickle juice. Listen, my queen, thank you so much for such a fantastic conversation. The questions...
No worries.
No, really, it's just from the bottom of my heart. Like, this is such a great conversation. And it's been a while since we had a woman be a guest, unfortunately. But no offense to my other guests, you're fantastic. But wanted to make sure that I also had a diverse range of voices. and powerful ones too. So before we go though, can you please tell the people where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at fe.oj on Instagram, and you can find my podcast at The Motion at themotion _ on Instagram. Also, I would not be giving you my Twitter because I chat rubbish. That I prefer to stay private. So my heart literally sinks every time someone follows me on Twitter because I'm just like, that's another ounce of rubbish. I cannot talk. But yeah, follow me on Instagram.
and when people tune into The Motion, thank you very much for having me on there before. We had a really great discussion, but please, can you tell people what to expect? Because I think they'll probably figure from our discussion today, but give them a taste.
Right, so The Motion is all about uniting differing opinions. Each episode, you can expect two guests who think different things, and they basically enter into an intellectual tug of war where they have to tug me to their side of the motion. So yeah, it's basically like an academic style debate, but with a twist and with more pop culture topics. And Blessing's episode, which you should definitely listen to, was is Drake timeless or just trendy? And I think you know what? I'm actually beginning to actually see Drake as the mogul he is.
Yeah,
that's another conversation.
We'll get, it is another conversation that will be the sixth episode of this podcast. Well, thank you so much. Always a pleasure for me to have this these kinds of conversations with you, because you definitely are the conversationalist queen. And yet, don't sleep on her podcast. Make sure that you, after you finish following this podcast, just go follow her podcast and then make a playlist and then put all of our episodes on there and listen to them all. No regrets, guaranteed. But thank you, my love. And I will catch up with you. Bye.